S. Sometimes. But sometimes you must prepare yourself longer to deal with the knowledge of a previous existence. D. Would karma enter into the decision to come back quickly? S. Yes. It depends also if you are trying to work certain things out. Sometimes you must wait for others who have not passed into the different realms. Not always is the time that you will be born of your own choosing. Some of the masters and the teachers would help you come to this ultimate decision. Also the person their karma is needed to be worked out with. D. Does the other person have to agree? S. It depends on certain circumstances. Not always is their agreement necessary. D. S. D. S. D. S. D. S. D. S. Then they can be working out karma without knowing about it. Without their approval, yes. In that case, it would be your own karma you had to work out, is that correct? Yours mostly, yes. There are certain guidelines that one must follow. The teachers and masters that help you figure all this out, is their decision more important than yours? It's not that it is more important. Many times they are viewing it from a different angle of perspective. They view it from their experience and they will share their wisdom. Most times their judgment is sound and you will pay to see it from that perspective also, and in this way you learn. In other words, they see things you don't. Yes, because they are standing back from the situation, so to speak. That makes sense. You are often too close to it to be a good impartial judge yourself. Are there ever times when a soul is made to come back when it doesn't want to? In some cases, yes, but maybe not because it doesn't want to. Suppose that the last life they enjoyed so much was as a man, and they are made to come back as a female. If they had the choice, they would choose to be male again. There are times like this that happen, yes. It depends on any given situation. It is a much easier existence on this side, but then the soul does not learn as much because day-to-day experience teaches you more wisdom. The wisdom of dealing with people who have vices and problems. It makes you grow a lot more than those who have access to great wisdom. A soul might have to go back if they are not looking at something from the right perspective. They would be shown what perspective they need to look at it from, by living through it. Before anyone comes into a life, they observe the balance of karma and they observe how it is. And they see what aspects of their karma would be worked out best in this particular situation and this particular balance of karma. Their spiritual masters might give some suggestions to help them figure out what they want to accomplish in this life. But no one is ever made to go into a situation they absolutely abhor. It's D, S, D, S, D, S, generally done by a consensus of opinion between the person and their spiritual masters. They won't like many aspects of the life in particular, but the majority of the life will be something they can handle. And these extra things they're not too fond of are looked upon as spiritual challenges, something for them to accomplish and to work for. How well they handle these things that they don't care for is one of the things that helps them work off some of their karma. On the spiritual plane, when they come back and it is seen that they handled it well, that reflects good upon their karma. I was thinking of one individual case. This girl had committed suicide in another life and was made to come back into this life. The situations and everything appeared to be right, but she didn't really want to come back. Sometimes this happens when, for instance, the soul has been in the spiritual hospital, and the masters are saying, "Well, it's time for you to go back because you can't stay here forever." And the soul indicates outward resistance to do that because they are basically afraid. But inside they know that they must do it if they ever want to get out of that situation and improve. Although they will give the impasse sign of being unwilling, they know that they must. So in that respect they want to get past this aspect of their karma and go on to bigger and better things. But in that case they are made to go back? Strongly encouraged, shall we say, because they cannot stay in the spiritual hospital forever, and so they have to come back. The souls that are sick and damaged need stronger guidance than those that are healthy. To an extent they have lost their responsibility to decide these things. Now on the other end of the scale, souls such as this vehicle, the subject, and yourself had to be held back and told, "Wait a minute. You can't go back yet, you have some more learning to do." You were impatient to go back and get involved again. "You mean we were too eager?" laugh, but this girl I was thinking about is very unhappy here in this life. She is definitely not working it out very well. Well, it takes a few lifetimes to figure out how to work it out and be happy in the process. As long as she doesn't end this lifetime in suicide, that would be progress right there. D. She had to come back into a situation with the same people again. S. Well, undoubtedly the main challenge she has for this life is to not end it in suicide, since she's in that situation again with the same people involved. The main challenge is to be able to deal with those people for a normal lifetime and not cut it short. If she is successful in that, then it'll work out better with the next life and succeeding lifetimes. Eventually in succeeding lifetimes it might be altered to where she just has to deal with one or two of the people at a time instead of the whole group. And she'll also learn to be happy again. D. I've heard that you are the one that makes the final decisions, and this was a case where somebody else rather forced her to come back. I was wondering if that was a contradiction. S. No. The people who are seemingly forced to come back know it's for their own good. After they are given time to think about it, they realize that they really do need to come back, or they'll be stuck in that one position forever, and they would never progress. Never progressing is the closest thing there is to the Christian concept of hell. D. Lust staying in the same situation and making the same mistakes? S. Yes. D. Are you allowed to go other places, or do you have to stay at the school? S. Sometimes we get to visit other planes of existence to show us how the spirit must deal with these. Each of the levels in their own way have lessons to teach us. D. When I speak to other spirits, they sometimes describe their surroundings differently. S. Much of that is what that individual visualizes, because most of the schools are anything you visualize them to be. From your set of experiences you may see it one way, whereas someone else may see it as something totally different, and it will still be in basically the same place. D. I thought maybe it was such a large place it could be many things. S. There is also that, too. There is an infinite number of planes. D. One spirit told me about a golden boat that would go back. S. D. S. D. S. D. S. D. And forth between the earth plane carrying the souls. Have you ever seen anything like that? Possibly that is her own visualization of what she thought was going on. There are some who say they see golden stairs or a bridge that they walk across. Others just see a large hall of light and they come toward the light. Much of that is individual experience coloring what they think they see, and so that is what occurs. Anything that you can visualize can be real. For you are the master of your own destiny, of your own house, of your own vessel or receptacle, or any other way you wish to perceive the concept of a spirit being in physical body. You are the master of your body and you are the master of your destiny. You create that which is manifest in front of you. You are co-creator here. That which you find in front of you is of your own making and creation, whether on the physical or spiritual planes. All must attune to this responsibility, for all are co-creators of their manifest destiny. What about a life where someone is handicapped? Does that serve a purpose? Oh, yes. It's a humbling experience. You are forced to really come to terms within yourself with who and what you are, and to look into yourself and not at what the people in the world think of you. It's so easy for people to have the tendency to think of themselves as other people see them, which is not so. You are different things. You are what you really are, then you are what you think you are, then you are what other people see you as, and then you change. But when you're handicapped, you are given something that you must overcome. And one of the things you must learn is not to be affected by the ridicule. You can't take other people's cruelties personally. That is something they have to deal with themselves. They don't understand, or maybe they're frightened. What people don't understand oftentimes frightens them. But the people they are hurting don't realize that. No, they just cry for the moment. Did you ever have a life where you were handicapped? Pause as though thinking, I think that I was totally no, I wasn't born that way, but he lost my sight. Do you think you learned anything from that life? S. I learned persistence. I learned not to take the things we see for granted. To have a greater appreciation. I learned a type of feeling, and I learned, surprised, to trust. D. Then it was worth it, I think anything is worth it if you learn something from it. Don't you agree? S. Yes. D. If other people try to help heal you and it's something karmic that you have to deal with, will the healing work? S. No. If it's something that is planned for a purpose to bring a person to a certain point, then the healing won't work. D. But is there any harm in trying? S. Oh, no. There's a certain love, and a certain blessing that God gives to those who draw upon their inner resources to help others. There is a giving process when they give of themselves, and it is its own reward. The following is from a regression where a young girl had a lifetime in which she could not hear or speak. I was talking to her immediately after her death. D. It was not a bad life, was it? S. There was no further karma incurred. Number D. Well, you couldn't incur any karma in a life like that, could you? S. Yes. If one fought against it and just, more or less, gave up. The fact is that if you were handicapped and didn't struggle to accomplish anything, then you would incur more karma. D. You mean if somebody is handicapped and they just give in, or they want everybody else to take care of them and do things for them, for instance? This would be the wrong way to handle a handicap. S. Yes, and they never try anything. In order to gain benefits from lives of that type, you must always strive for greater heights, and not let it pull you down. D. In spite of being handicapped, you must always try to do better. This way you are paying back karma or debt. But if someone just gives in and doesn't try to do anything, then they are making more karma for the next time. Is that right? S. Yes. D. But what about those who are retarded? That would be a different kind of handicap, wouldn't it? She frowned. Do you know what retarded means? S. I'm not sure I understand your viewpoint. D. Some children are born and they never really grow up in their mind. Their body grows up, but the mind stays like a child. It is a handicap of a different kind. Do you know what I mean? S. Yes. But again, there is always the ability to try to make oneself just a little bit better each time. Striving so that they try to overcome any deficiencies in the self. D. Do you think any time a person is born with a handicap or develops a handicap, they are doing it for a reason? S. Yes, whether it is to atone for something that they have done in the past or just to try to further themselves along the pathway. D. Then some people will have a handicap even though it is not for paying back a debt? S. Yes, because much good can be gained from this. They can learn understanding. They will not be as quick to judge as others. D. So it's not always a bad thing that they're trying to pay back. We must also not forget the influence that handicapped people have on others. What lessons are being learned by those who have daily contact with them? What lessons are being learned by passers-by? What emotions, positive or negative, are being aroused? And also what kind of lessons are being rejected? It emphasizes again that no matter whether we wish to or not, everyone is constantly influencing or affecting others every day in many ways. The lessons are gained in how we accept and handle these things, or in how we reject and deny them. We discovered the Temple of Wisdom complex on the spirit plane quite by accident. I was working with a young man named John who had been having some physical problems. He wondered if there might be a place in the spirit realm where he could obtain some healing. I was unaware of any place of that nature, but I am always willing to try an experiment to find out. The other information in this book was obtained by subjects in trance who found themselves in the spirit form when they were in the so-called dead state between lives. This time would be different. After John had entered the deep somnambulistic level, I purposely directed him to go to the spirit realm and see if he could find a place that dealt with healing, if indeed such a place existed. When I finished counting, John found himself in beautiful ethereal surroundings. He was informed that this was a portion of the Temple of Wisdom, which was a large complex containing several different departments: the Temple of Healing, the Tapestry Room, and the Library. I am often disappointed because I cannot also enjoy the visual wonder of what my subjects see. Like a blind person, I must rely on the verbal descriptions of others, and often mere words are inadequate to truly portray the marvels they find in these other dimensions. J. I'm in the Temple of Healing now. It's a beautiful place. It's a round rotunda, and all these brilliant lights are coming through gem windows that are not located up high on the ceiling. There are blues, reds, greens, yellows, oranges, turquoises, 62, the Grand Tour, every color that you can think of except black and white. They are not represented here, but every other color is, and they cast these beautiful rays of light down onto the rotunda floor. Here comes the guardian of the Temple of Healing. He walks up to me and smiles, and he's taking my hand now. He says, "You have come for some treatment, haven't you? Your soul has gone through a great deal, hasn't it? Stand here in the center of all this light and let this light energy be with you." D, is that what this place is used for? There was no answer. He was obviously experiencing something very profound, as indicated by his bodily movements and facial sensations. I was not alarmed because it seemed to be a pleasant experience. D, can you tell me what's happening at this time? Still no answer. He apparently was very involved with the experience. His whole body jerked convulsively several times. This went on for a few seconds. D, what does it feel like? J, the different lights are swirling all around me and feeling and cleansing me. This is why I'm not able to talk at the present time. D, I just wanted to make sure that everything is all right. Is it a good feeling? J, it's ecstatic. Several more seconds of silence followed as his body continued to occasionally jerk. Oh, it's a wonderful feeling. I feel so rejuvenated. A pause of several more seconds. Ugh, it's just wonderful. Oh, it's just waves of color and energy all around me, taking out all my pain and soreness. And now he takes my hand and leads me away from this. He says, "Your soul is cleansed of much negative energy that has been around you. Feel the sense of peace that comes. You must concentrate on learning to heal yourself." A big deep breath. Oh, that was a wonderful feeling. This is a beautiful place for people who have been very ill in the physical body. When they pass over, they are taken here so that their astral and spiritual bodies may be rejuvenated and healed in this rotunda. Afterwards, these souls that are conversations with a spirit no longer tied to bodies are met by their spirit guides and conducted into the different areas where they need to go to learn more about their soul's evolution. There's a long line of them. But because I asked to be healed and I'm still in the human form, they said it was okay for me to come first and be allowed to go through the chamber. They call it the Chamber of Colors and Light. D, is this unusual for someone who is still in the physical body to come to this place? J, yes. The guardian says not many people afford themselves this opportunity while in the astral traveling state. But they should, he says. We are here to also be of service to the souls that are still incarnated as well. If they would like to come, we would be happy to welcome them. For always there is a loving energy that goes with all this healing. This is a wondrous, loving place. It's nothing like a hospital or anything like that. It's like a beautiful temple, and above this round rotunda are these gem windows. I'd say they're about 5-6 feet tall, and they're made up of different colored gems. The light pours through them and bounces into the center at the rotunda, and it swirls you with energy. That's where I was. Oh, it's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Now the guardian says, "We will talk to you about your health. It's very important to keep a positive sense. And to be aware that your spiritual mission is to help and serve other people, John. Don't worry about your health problems. They will be manifested out of your body by your positive energy. If you desire to lose the weight that you have on this body, concentrate on the form you would like to manifest, and you will be that manifestation. But it's important for you to concentrate. The use of alcohol and tobacco are not helpful for your spiritual growth, so these things must eventually be cut out of your life. You will not grow with these energies inflicting your body, for they are painful for your body and your spiritual bodies. In time you will, if you desire it, manifest all the natural and beautiful things that your soul has. You will attract the right energies, so do not worry about your health, because we are healing and you will be healed. If you need to go to this temple ever again, just wish to be here and you will be here." He's really loving. He's just the Grand Tour giving me a big hug, and he says, Now it's time for you to depart this area. D, before we go I wanted to ask him about these people that are in line. Are they people who died from illnesses? J, he says, yes, these are people that have died from very long-term illnesses, as well as people that have suffered immensely before crossing over. They are people that have died of different diseases like cancer, from automobile accidents and such. They're not really lined up in a line. I mean, there's a sense of order, yes, but it's not like they're one behind the other. Each one is in turn to go through this chamber of light energy. D, do their guides take them through this? J, well, there are guardians walking among them. In fact, some of them have come with their family members. D, are these the ones that came to meet them when they died? J, yes, their family have ushered them to this place. D, will they be cleansed, so to speak, or healed by this before they're allowed to go on anywhere else? J, yes. They need this healing process because what they went through has been very painful. D, and this would be the first order of business after they pass over? J, yes. This healing energy is one of first things that people experience if they have suffered immensely in the physical body through a disease or an accident. This has caused illness or negativity within their etheric bodies. So these etheric bodies have to be healed before they can progress into the astral and work in this level. This is a very important place for these people. They're led to the middle of this center space. And this is where all the rays of light come down and surround them and swirl around them and take away any of the negativity that their etheric body might have. Then they are reunited with their family and guides who usher them into different areas throughout the astral world. D, I've never heard of this healing temple before. I thank him for the information. J, he smiles and says, I'm here always to be of service. This is my mission, my life. My being note life, being. He's just a warm, radiant, loving energy. His touch is magical. It's like conversations with a spirit a mother's love, you know, the way a mother cuddles her child. It's that type of love that you feel. He says this is an opportune place for all souls to gather whether they be incarnated or discarnated. He says this service and this area of healing is welcome to all. Many people who use the psychic healing powers should project this image, for they can be healed in this area. He says, now that you have witnessed it and taken part in it, John, it is important for you to describe this place to other people that could use it. This would be a wonderful tool for Dolores to use to help heal other people. She could guide them through hypnosis into this healing temple where we'll take over and help. So this would be a wonderful service that Dolores could use. And by giving and sharing in this area she also grow. This is the message that he was for you, Dolores. D, I am very grateful for it. Are there any regulations about who can or cannot come? J, he says, all souls are welcome to come here if they're willing to take the transit and the journey. Not all are willing, or evolved enough to make it. But if they are willing and would long to be healed, we are here to be of service. In time they might have to come back, depending on their negativity. But, once they have a treatment he says most souls will go on. They do not linger here. They do not usually want to come back here unless it's important for them to come back. This is the law. That's all he said, that's the law. The soul knows best. We're dealing with one's soul bodies, not so much with one's conscious vehicle. When the soul is the master or it understands what is going on, it knows the law. No one becomes dependent on this energy. Laugh, they do not become healing junkies. It does not work that way. D, then if I led someone to this place in the trance state they would receive healing through this process if they were willing. J, he says, yes, if they're willing we are here to be of help. If you tune into us through a meditative or hypnotic state we are here to be of service because that is what our energy is. It would be very easy for you to channel this. He says for Dolores to use it to be of service. He says, once we are of service all things are made manifest for us. Each one of us the Grand Tour has a spiritual talent. And for you, Dolores, this is a wonderful way to express part of your spiritual talents. D. It sounds like a very good idea because many times people ask me for advice on their health. Jay, he says this would be a wonderful way to put them into trance and let them travel to this temple of light. This would be a wonderful service, for it doesn't heal the physical body as much as it heals the etheric bodies. Those are the bodies that lie within man as they incarnate. D, but I would think any healing would be mirrored in the physical body also. J, it does. But the person has to use a positive sense, too. That's important. Teresa Gold place here, that's really marvelous. It's radiant with beautiful gold designs all over the walls. D, is this a separate place from the healing temple? J, we're still in the healing temple. I'm walking around it and talking with the guide. He is showing me the different ray energies and how they come through. It's like being inside a jewel box. It's that wonderful. Most of the whole temple structure itself radiates an electric gold color. I mean, it's like a gold brown, but it's a real healing color, and it looks like it has filigree carved into it. There are opals and all different types of semi and precious stones set into the walls. But the most important ones are the jewels that are in the windows where the light comes through. D, well, I thank him for allowing us to enter there and for giving you that treatment. Do you want to leave that place now? J, yes. He hugged me and said goodbye. D, we should leave because other people are waiting for the same treatment. J, there are people, yes. Each one is stepping up into the light. D, that is a very important place for us to know about. There must be many places over there that we don't know exist. You said that all these buildings are part of a complex. Wonder if you might take me on a tour, so to speak, and we could find out what else is there. J, okay. The guardian says the tapestry room is important, so I'm walking down this beautiful corridor with walls that look like lapis lazuli and marble. At the end is this big doorway. I'm opening the door, and there is a dazzling bright light. Conversations with a spirit. D, what is causing the bright light? J, it is a man, or a spirit form. He says he's the guardian of the tapestry room and is allowing me to enter. This same tapestry room was featured in Conversations with Nostradamus, Volume 2, Revised Edition. This is a very honored place. There is a wonderful aroma in the air. It smells like a combination of a fresh breeze tinged with salt and perfumes from a garden. It's almost like incense. It's a beautiful room and it's very, very tall. It goes up for maybe 200 or 300 feet. No, maybe 100 feet would be more accurate. The ceiling has a rounded point like a church nave. There are windows at the top of it and on either side of the walls. They're up high and they light up the room. And there are chandeliers that hang down from the ceiling that look like Aladdin lamps. But there are a lot of them, maybe about 5 or 20. The walls and the floor seem to be made of marble. And there is some heavy furniture at different intervals, like groups of chairs and tables opposite the tapestry. They're not contemporary and they're not antique, but they're very functional, comfortable and inviting. The guardian says sometimes teachers bring their students here to explain the wonders and the intricacies of the tapestry to them. It feels like I'm in a special museum where people can come to examine and study this. I'm going now to look at the tapestry. It's so beautiful. It's metallic, made of metal threads, and they're just gorgeous. They glimmer and shine. A sudden intake of breath, and it looks like it breathes. It's like it is alive. I mean, it just undulates and sparkles. Some of the strands glisten, and others are kind of dull. It's really hard to describe. It actually is like a living thing, but it's not frightening, it's beautiful. There are all different types of threads. And, oh, it's just glorious. Nothing on earth could ever be compared to it. There is just no way to describe how glorious this is because it's so vibrant, it's almost a trick. And the guardian says that each thread represents a life. D, it sounds very complicated. J, oh, some of it is complicated, but it makes a beautiful design. An eternal design. And, I can see the world beyond that. By looking at this tapestry, I can see any event that has taken place. The grand tour. D, what do you mean? J, it's like looking through the tapestry, and I can see people's daily lives, and they're connected as a thread into this tape stri. Now the Guardian is explaining that every life that has ever been lived is represented as a thread in this tapestry.